Welcome to the AQA GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving deep into one of the most important sections of Paper 2, Psychological Problems. This topic covers depression and addiction, two conditions that examiners absolutely love to test. And once you understand the structure of this topic, you'll be picking up marks with confidence. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. The big picture. Psychological Problems sits in Section D of Paper 2. The examiners want you to demonstrate knowledge across three areas for each condition: the characteristics, what does it look like, the explanations, why does it happen, and the treatments, how do we help. For depression, you need to know the biological explanation and the cognitive explanation. For addiction, you need to know the learning explanation. And crucially, you need to be able to evaluate the research evidence for each one. The assessment objective breakdown is roughly 35% description, 35% application, and 30% evaluation. So evaluation is worth almost as much as description. Never skip it. Depression, characteristics. Let's start with depression, specifically unipolar depression, which is what AQA focuses on. The key here is the ICD-10 criteria. ICD stands for International Classification of Diseases, and it's the diagnostic manual used in the UK. Examiners award marks for precise use of these criteria, so learn them properly. For a diagnosis of depression, a candidate must show at least 5 symptoms lasting for at least 2 weeks. The core symptoms include persistent low mood, and I mean persistent, not just feeling sad for a day, loss of interest or pleasure in activities the person used to enjoy, which is called anhedonia, and fatigue or loss of energy. Additional symptoms include feelings of worthlessness or excessive guilt, difficulty concentrating, changes in sleep, either sleeping too much or too little, changes in appetite or weight, psychomotor changes, meaning the person either moves and speaks very slowly or becomes agitated and restless, and in severe cases, recurrent thoughts of death or suicidal ideation. Now, here's a really common mistake that examiners flag every single year. Candidates confuse normal sadness or grief with clinical depression. If someone's pet dies and they feel sad for a week, that is a normal emotional response. Depression requires the symptoms to persist for at least 2 weeks and to significantly impair the person's ability to function in daily life. Make that distinction explicit in your answers. Biological explanation of depression. The biological explanation argues that depression has a genetic basis. It runs in families because of inherited genes. The key study here is Keitch from 1960. Keitch studied male twins in Sweden and found that identical twins, that's MZ twins, who share 100% of their DNA, had higher concordance rates than non-identical DZ twins, who share only about 50% of their DNA. The logic is this: if genes cause depression, then identical twins should be more likely to both develop depression than non-identical twins. When you evaluate Keitch's study, don't just say it proves a genetic link. Examiners dislike the word proves in psychology. Instead, use the Peel structure. Point: the study supports a genetic explanation. Evidence: MZ twins showed higher concordance rates than DZ twins. Explain: this suggests genes play a role because MZ twins share more DNA. Link: however, concordance rates are never 100%, which suggests the environment also plays a role. That's a full evaluation point right there. Another evaluation point: Keitch's sample was all male and Swedish, which raises questions about generalization. Can we apply these findings to women, to people from different cultural backgrounds? Probably not without further research. Cognitive explanation of depression, Ellis's ABC model. Now let's shift to the cognitive explanation, which is where Ellis comes in. Albert Ellis proposed that it's not events themselves that cause depression, it's the way we think about those events. His model is called the ABC model, and you absolutely must know what each letter stands for. A is the activating event, something that happens in the world. For example, failing an exam. B is the belief, the thought or interpretation you have about that event. Ellis distinguished between rational beliefs like, I'm disappointed, but I can work harder next time, and irrational beliefs like, I'm a complete failure and I'll never succeed at anything. C is the consequence, the emotional and behavioral outcome. A rational belief leads to a healthy negative emotion, like disappointment. An irrational belief leads to an unhealthy emotion, like depression, anxiety, or worthlessness. Ellis argued that depression arises from irrational beliefs, what he called masturbatory thinking. This is when people think in absolutes. I must always succeed. I must be liked by everyone. life must always be fair. When reality doesn't match these rigid demands, the person spirals into depression. A critical point for your evaluation, the ABC model is cognitive, meaning it focuses on thought processes. This is different from the biological explanation, which focuses on genes and brain chemistry. Examiners want you to contrast these perspectives. A strength of the cognitive explanation is that it has practical applications. It led directly to the development of CBT. A limitation is that it doesn't explain why some people develop irrational beliefs in the first place. Is it genetics? Upbringing? The model doesn't fully answer that. Addiction. Characteristics and learning explanation. Now let's move to addiction. Again, use ICD-10 criteria. Key characteristics of addiction include a strong desire or compulsion to use the substance, difficulty controlling use, withdrawal symptoms when not using, tolerance, needing more of the substance to get the same effect, neglect of other activities, and continued use despite knowing it's harmful. The learning explanation of addiction uses two types of conditioning, and this is where candidates make one of the most common errors on the paper. Listen carefully. Classical conditioning is about association. It explains how a person becomes addicted in the first place. Before addiction, the drug is a neutral stimulus. The drug produces a high, that's an unconditioned response. After repeated use, the drug itself, and even cues associated with it, like the sight of drug paraphernalia, become conditioned stimuli that trigger cravings. That craving is the conditioned response. So classical conditioning explains why addicts experience cravings even when they see something that reminds them of the drug. Operant conditioning is about consequences. It explains why the behavior is maintained and why it's so hard to stop. There are two mechanisms. Positive reinforcement. The drug produces pleasure, so the person takes it again to get that reward. And negative reinforcement. The person takes the drug to escape withdrawal symptoms or stress. Negative reinforcement is not punishment. It means removing something unpleasant, which reinforces the behavior. This is why addiction is so hard to break. The person is being reinforced from both directions. The key distinction. Classical conditioning explains the cue-triggered cravings. Operant conditioning explains the maintenance of the behavior through reward and relief. Treatments. For depression, you need to know two treatments, drug therapy and CBT. Drug therapy works on the biological explanation. If depression is caused by low levels of neurotransmitters like serotonin, then antidepressant drugs, specifically SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, can increase the availability of serotonin in the brain. A key study here is Wiles from 2013, who found that CBT combined with usual care was more effective than usual care alone for treatment-resistant depression. When evaluating drug therapy, note that it treats symptoms rather than causes, and there can be side effects. Also, it doesn't address the cognitive patterns that Ellis identified. CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is the treatment that flows directly from Ellis's ABC model. The therapist works with the client to identify irrational beliefs and challenge them, replacing them with more rational alternatives. This is called cognitive restructuring. The behavioral component involves setting homework tasks to test these new beliefs in real life. Wiles's 2013 study supports CBT's effectiveness. A strength is that it addresses the root cognitive causes. A limitation is that it requires motivation and effort from the patient. It doesn't work well for severely depressed individuals who lack the energy to engage. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. For 9-mark questions, the structure is 3 marks for AO1 description, 3 marks for one evaluation point, and 3 marks for a second evaluation point. Each evaluation point should follow peel, point, evidence, explain, link. Don't just describe a study when the question asks you to evaluate it. Describing the procedure is AO1. Evaluating means commenting on validity, reliability, ethics, or generalizability. For application questions, that's AO2, you must refer to the specific scenario. If the question gives you a character called Sarah, who is experiencing low mood and loss of appetite, you must use Sarah's name and her specific symptoms in your answer. Generic answers that could apply to anyone score very few marks. Examiners are explicitly looking for you to apply the theory to the given scenario. When evaluating Keitch, always contrast MZ concordance rates with DZ concordance rates. The fact that MZ rates are higher supports genetics, but the fact that they're not 100% supports the role of environment. That's your evaluation built in. Don't confuse the ABC model of CBT with the ABC of attitudes from the social influence topic. They're completely different. In CBT, A is activating event, B is belief, C is consequence. In attitudes, A is affective, B is behavioral, C is cognitive. Know which is which. Quickfire recall quiz. Cover your notes and try to answer these. Question 1. What does ICD-10 stand for? International Classification of Diseases, 10th edition. Question 2. How many symptoms are needed for a depression diagnosis and for how long? At least 5 symptoms for at least 2 weeks. Question 3. In Ellis's ABC model, what does B stand for? Belief, specifically the distinction between rational and irrational beliefs. Question 4. What is the difference between classical and operant conditioning in addiction? Classical conditioning explains cue-triggered cravings through association. Operant conditioning explains maintained use through positive reinforcement, pleasure, and negative reinforcement, relief from withdrawal. Question 5. Name one study supporting the biological explanation and give its date. Keige, 1960, a twin study examining concordance rates. Question 6. What does SSRI stand for and how does it treat depression? Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It increases serotonin availability in the brain by preventing its reabsorption. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Psychological Problems covers depression and addiction. For depression, know the ICD-10 characteristics, the biological explanation using Keige's twin study, Ellis's ABC cognitive model, and the treatments of drug therapy and CBT. For addiction, know the ICD-10 characteristics and the learning explanation using classical and operant conditioning. The 3 golden rules for this topic. 1. Always use ICD-10 criteria when defining characteristics. 2. Never confuse classical conditioning with operant conditioning. 3. For 9 mark questions, use PEOL for each evaluation point and make sure your evaluation actually evaluates, not just describes. The key studies to memorize: Keige, 1960, for the biological explanation, and Wiles, 2013, for CBT effectiveness. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, examiners want to give you marks. Show them the specific knowledge, apply it to the scenario, and evaluate with evidence. Good luck.